estudiantes de la Universidad Concordia. En algún momento has querido ser parte de un equipo dinámico y comprometido con el desarrollo de tu comunidad. La estación de radio estudiantil de Concordia, CJLO, tiene oportunidades de voluntariado en una multitud de campos. Desde la producción de audio hasta el reportaje, pasando por el marketing y la administración, hay lugar para ti en nuestro equipo. Cualquiera que sea tu interés, no te pierdas esta oportunidad de aprendizaje y desarrollo personal. Mándanos un correo electrónico a volunteer@cjlo.com o inscríbete en línea a cjlo.com/volunteer. Juntos podemos tener un impacto positivo en la comunidad de Concordia y de Montreal.
For CJLO News, I'm Donald Roberge. The Quebec government has rejected a proposal that would prevent tuition fees for out-of-province students to almost double as of next fall. Both McGill and Concordia universities proposed enforcing mandatory French language classes for undergraduate students at their schools if the Quebec government rescinded its tuition increase. Pascal Derry, the higher education minister, says that the proposal was a step in the right direction, but was not enough for the Quebec government to reconsider its decision. Derry's office also stated that they would look at finding a specific solution for Bishop's University in Lennoxville, who says its very survival is at risk. On October 13th, the Quebec government announced that it would raise the university tuition from $8,992 to $17,000 for out-of-province students as of autumn 2024 in order to protect the French language and to better fund French universities in Quebec. Quebec's finance minister, Éric Girard, has projected a financial deficit of $4 billion in the 2023 to 2024 fiscal year. The minister reassured citizens that the province is not in the midst of a recession. However, the minister did concede that Quebec's economy is currently stagnating. Girard also announced that Quebec will focus on improving access to affordable housing during next year. The province will also set aside money for food banks, climate change initiatives, and support for the unhoused. The Quebec government will not provide taxpayers with a one-time check as they've received in previous years. However, the government will provide tax credits and aid payments to help offset increased cost of living. Girard stated that the province expects a gradual return to a balanced budget by 2028. Canada Post has unveiled the recipient of its annual Remembrance Day stamp. This year's stamp honors Mona Parsons, the only female Canadian citizen to be imprisoned by the Nazis. Parsons was imprisoned by the Nazis during the Second World War for helping Allied air crews to escape the occupied Netherlands. Born in Middleton, Nova Scotia, Parsons lived with her Dutch husband in the Netherlands during the Second World War and was part of the Dutch resistance before being caught. Canada Post says that the stamp is one of 12 created yearly that brings to light extraordinary Canadians that may otherwise go unnoticed. They estimate about 1.5 million of the stamps to be printed.
Welcome back to CJLO 1690. I'm Stephanie Manning, and you're listening to this week's episode of Cadenza Montreal. I hope that you all enjoyed the two interviews from last week, conductor Alim Chan and two members of the Ligeti Quartet. I had a lot of fun with those. This week will be no interviews, but we will have just music this week, and then next week is looking good for some interview prospects, so a little bit easier to transition every other week, I think. Sometimes it's hard to get in touch with people. You know, these artists are often busy, but we should have a great talking lineup for this week. That being said, we have some great music for you today, at least in my opinion. And of course, based on what is going on in Montreal at the moment. So this first piece is, I chose it because starting tonight and tomorrow, the Orchestra Symphonique de Montreal is playing a program with Christoph Eschenbach, the conductor, and with violin soloist Agustin Hadelisch. Fantastic soloist. I've seen him before with the Cleveland Orchestra and couldn't quite remember what was on the program when he was playing. I wasn't able to find it earlier, but I did find that he's appearing again with the Cleveland Orchestra later this month, so with the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. This recording is of Agustin Hadelisch, and it is one of my personal favorite pieces that I haven't actually heard in a long time. It's composer Eduard Lalo. It's the Symphony Espanol for Violin and Orchestra. So this recording is with Hadalish, conductor Omar Mayer Wilbur, and the London Philharmonic Orchestra. So let's take a listen.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal. You just heard the first movement Allegro of Edouard Lalo's Symphonie Espagnole for Violin and Orchestra. That was the London Philharmonic Orchestra, and the soloist was Augustin Hadelisch. Again, you can hear that concert tonight and tomorrow night at the Maison Symphonique, him playing with the Orchestra Symphonique de Montreal. And kind of continuing in that vein, the conductor on that program, the OSM's program with Hadelisch, is Christoph Eschenbach. For a long time, he was the principal conductor at the the National Symphony Orchestra in Washington, D.C., where I grew up. So it's a familiar name to me, but he also spent plenty of time at the Philadelphia Orchestra. So on the program tonight in Montreal is Beethoven's Symphony No. 7, quite the well-known piece, lots of recordings to choose from. I've chosen one with Eschenbach conducting the Philadelphia Orchestra. It's kind of going back and forth between this recording and an OSM recording with Kent Nagano conductor. And I was surprised with the second movement, Allegretto, is the movement that I was looking at specifically, and Kent Nagano's recording is a minute shorter than the Eschenbach one, and it's a minute shorter than like most takes of this movement. So it's quite a fast rendition. I did listen to it, and I found it quite fast myself. So this will be more akin to what you will hear tonight, given the conductor's proclivities. What you will hear tonight at the Maison Symphonique. So this is Christoph Eschenbach and the Philadelphia Orchestra, the second movement Allegretto from Beethoven's Symphony No. 7 in A major.
Thank you. Au cinéma public, nous proposons une programmation en salle composée de films d'ici et de nouveautés internationales, de classiques et des pépites méconnues, ainsi que de courts-métrages et des séances familiales. Nos billets sont parmi les moins chers à Montréal, 10$ au tarif régulier et 8$ pour les étudiants, les enfants et les aînés. Nous offrons également des cinécartes de 6 billets pour encore plus d'économies. Venez nous voir à la Casa d'Italia, juste en face de la station Jean Talon. Et rendez-vous au cinémapublic.ca pour découvrir notre programmation. Le cinéma public pour un cinéma vivant.
Welcome back to CGLO 1690. I'm Stephanie Manning, and you're listening to Cadenza Montreal. The piece just before the ad break there was the second movement Allegretto from Beethoven's Symphony No. 7 in A major. That was the Philadelphia Orchestra and Christoph Eschenbach conducting. Now we turn to a rather interesting program I found from a group called E-Musici de Montréal. This is a collaboration with the artist Kim Thuy. She is an author, Kim Thuy. She's a Quebec author and has received, according to her bio, has received awards including the Governor General's Literary Award in 2010. It just so happens that the winners of the Governor General's Literary Awards were announced today. I haven't had a chance to take a look myself, but those were announced today, so that should be exciting to see what authors and books were honored this year. So this program is in collaboration and with her, and she chose some pieces that apparently represent her life and her experiences. So looking through those, the last one is a fun one, and it's a fun little waltz that many even non-classical musicians may know. It's the Shostakovich Waltz number 2. So this is a recording that I found by the Singapore Symphony Orchestra, and the conductor is Andrew Litton. So this is a quick little piece, fun waltz by Shostakovich. I do love a good waltz, a good 3-4 time sort of moment. So enjoy. Thank you. Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal. That was a fun little waltz, waltz number 2 by Shostakovich. This is from his suite for Variety Stage Orchestra, though this piece has a bit of a interesting history. I was reading up on it earlier. It's not actually, the arrangements are of Shostakovich's music, but the arrangements themselves, I don't believe, were done by the composer. They were done by a friend of Shostakovich's and arranged after his death. And there was also some confusion over this piece being labeled as Shostakovich's Suite for Jazz Orchestra Number 2, which is actually a different piece. If you go to Wikipedia, they've got the page redirects there. That's kind of how deep that goes. So just a little bit of classical music history with that piece there. The Shostakovich had me kind of thinking of pieces by other composers from this kind of Soviet era. And I stumbled upon a piece that, like the Lalo at the top of the show, I hadn't heard in a while, but really is a favorite of mine. This is R.M. Khachaturian and his ballet Spartacus. There is an adagio, this famous adagio of Spartacus in Phrygia from this ballet that is... honestly, I haven't heard it performed in a long time, but it was I performed it in youth orchestra myself, and it's really a beautiful piece. So the recording here is the London Symphony Orchestra and conductor Yuri Aronovich. So this is about a 10-minute, very beautiful adagio piece. So I will cue that up and hope you enjoy. Thank you. Welcome back to CJLO 1690, and you're listening to Cadenza Montreal. That was the Adagio of Spartacus in Phrygia from R.M. Khachaturian's ballet Spartacus. This was the London Symphony Orchestra under the baton of Yuri Aronovich. What a beautiful... It's you know, it says Adagio, but it's quite dramatic, as the huge dramatic highs and lows. There's really... you know, a lot going on there in the story. I believe I was remembering as I was listening to this that I believe my youth orchestra conductor explained the plot of what was happening during this moment in the ballet to us in great detail. And now I wish I could remember what that plot was better, but it's really a beautiful piece and quite romantic, lyrical, dramatic, all in one measure. So we are going to take a quick ad break since it is about that time, and then I will come back and talk about the next piece, which is very interesting. It is the Alban Berg Violin Concerto. But first, a quick word from an ad break.
Dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Brew. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal. So next up, we have a very interesting piece. This is Alban Berg's Violin Concerto, and the subtitle is To the Memory of an Angel. So this is the piece that, one of the pieces that Augustin Hadalich, violin soloist, will be playing with the OSM tonight and tomorrow. And I thought I would read the description on Apple Music Classical. The description of this piece, I think it does a great job of explaining sort of the history behind it and what it means both to those familiar with classical music and those who are not. I wish that they showed who wrote these little introductions. I like this one quite a lot, but it is not credited. So this is what shows up in Apple Music Classical when you go to this violin concerto. Here's what it says. Berg's Violin Concerto is one of very few modernist masterpieces with a firm place in the classical music repertory. Its creation was the result of personal tragedy. In April 1935, Manon Gropius, the daughter of Alma Mahler, the composer's widow, so the composer Mahler, her Alma Mahler was Mahler's widow, and so Manon is Alma Mahler's daughter. And Manon's second husband, Walter Gropius, had died in Vienna at age 18 of complications from polio contracted a year earlier. Berg knew Alma and her family well, and he felt Manon's death intensely. The American violinist Louis Krasner had recently asked him for a concerto, and Berg now decided to compose the piece as a musical memorial to Manon. Normally a slow worker, he finished the 25-minute concerto in less than 4 months. Dedicated, quote, to the memory of an angel, and additionally inscribed for Louis Krasner, the concerto filters the 12-tone technique devised by Schoenberg, Berg's former teacher, through an hyper-expressive brand of post-romanticism. There are two movements, each in two continuous parts. The first portrays Manon's graceful poise and playfulness, while the second describes her death struggle and her passing into immortality, a moment symbolized by the introduction of a Lutheran chorale tune harmonized by Bach, whose text begins, "Es ist genug," or "It is enough." Shortly after finishing the concerto, Berg was bitten by an insect at the base of his spine, developing blood poisoning. He died in Vienna on December 24th. The violin concerto's premiere, performed by Krasner on April 19, 1936 in Barcelona, became a memorial both to Manon and to Berg himself. So again, that was the description on Apple Music Classical. I wish that I could credit who wrote that, because it is is quite a succinct description and beautiful. And I feel like very necessary in this instance to hear from the backstory of this piece and before hearing it for the first time. So the piece is quite long, so we only have time for the first movement today. This is the Andante Allegretto. So this is the movement as described that portrays Manon's graceful poise and her playfulness. So this recording is the Orchestra Mozart under the direction of Claudio Abbado and violinist Isabel Faust.